Drinks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. Oh, gosh. It's the morning, and I actually could use a drink by now. We're starting 15 minutes late because I lost a contact lens in my eyeball. Because I'm a grown woman, and I lose things. Not usually in my body. Okay, so today, first of all, I'm joined by my guest co-host, Jessica Elena Eason.
Oh my goodness, Betsy, you called me my SAG after name. Look at you.
your official public name.
Only my public self. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. And today we have a singer, podcaster, activist with us, Melinda Hale.
Hi, thanks Ooh. For having me.
Hello, thank you so much for doing this show. I know you of are course. A busy lady and, you know, and a busy mom, and you can't see it, listener, but Melinda is gorgeous and she has like, she looks amazing.
I was going to say that. I was going to interrupt to say you can't see the gorgeousness that we are experiencing in the morning, which, you know what? Should be against mom rules, but Melinda is bringing mom hotness back. Oh, it is a hot mom summer over here with Melinda because she's
well, thank
gorgeous.
You. Any excuse I can
Miss
have.
Jessica, by the way, really quick, speaking of hotness, you are coming in hot audio-wise. Don't put that thing at your mouth. You are just fine if you just leave it hanging.
I will do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mama Rose.
She's like, you're loud.
You are so loud, and you're already loud. I'm Colombian loud. It's already loud. Too loud.
It's actually still really loud. I don't know how to change that.
How about if I do this?
Oh, there you go. There you go. You're good. So I have three children. They are all boys. I'm dying. I have a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 10-year-old. Jessica, what's happening over there?
I only have 2 boys, and I'm dying as well. I have an 8.5-year-old and a 4.5-year-old.
Fantastic. Melinda, what is your situation?
I am not there yet. I have one little girl. She is 16 months old. She's a pandemic baby. Her name's Sienna, and she's a lot. I refer to her as a pit bull because she needs constant activity and constant stimulation in order to wear her out. She's a lot. Yeah. I love her. She's literally the light of my life. But ooh, my goodness. Oh, that girl's got a lot of energy. She started walking at 8.5 months.
Holy yeah. No. Oh, no.
So we That's weren't prepared not... for any no, of that. I was no. like, hey. But she was bored. She was, you know, home during a pandemic. She had nothing else better to do but to learn how to walk early. So that's where we are. So she's 16 months. She's running, like full on running, super speed. Like we did a play date at the park not too long ago and with a group of moms that I've been in like an Instagram group with. And they're like, she's running already? I'm like, yeah, I don't.
Now, is she running and just eating it constantly? Or is she actually like... running and like
no
not
she's
falling
running
every
she hasn't
steps.
Fallen too much, which is really surprising. Wow. But she also just started climbing too, which is another heart attack that I'm dealing
heart
with
attack. That's yeah.
So here's it's, what I've learned yeah. is Ooh. That some people get kids who are climbers and then most people don't it seems like half and half. I don't know, none of my kids were climbers, but I've heard so many nightmare stories about just like walking into a room and your kid is like standing on a dresser like, oh my gosh, you've got to
yeah,
climb.
Yeah, and my husband was a climber apparently and I wasn't, so I was like, this is your fault. You just want you to
assign it.
To understand that but like yeah. the other day she woke up early, which she never really like wakes up early like crying. She's a pretty good sleeper in general, and she was just crying, and I look at the monitor and I see that she starts to lift her leg, and I was like, okay, she's not gonna climb because she's never done that. Look back, she's straddling the crib. And I was like, ah. And at the time, it's so funny, my father-in-law was visiting, and at the time I wasn't fully dressed, but I wasn't gonna run down the hall with my father-in-law there like in underwear and a bra. So I like had to quickly put on something because I was like, I had to run down the hall to go get her. And I look at the monitor and she was like sliding down the crib and then like full dismounted. I made it to the room and then she just met me at the door. Like the nerve to just meet me at the door as if nothing just happened. It was crazy. I was like, okay, so this is the new phase that we're in. Yay.
Yeah, it's called Fire Woman phase, where she's like sliding down like a pole. And she's like, what's up? What's up, mama?
Like, it was nothing. Oh, man. Yeah. So that's where we're at.
I love that moment, though, Melinda, of you being like, should I chance running down the hallway and seeing my father? Right? That moment where you're like, could I make it?
Yes. Oh, but you don't have that long to consider the option. Like, no, I was like, exactly. I have 5 seconds where she's either going to break her leg or my father-in-law is going to see me in my underwear. So. Yeah.
Which is more damaging.
Right. Which I actually did have to consider, like, okay, we could do the cast or, like, this is going to be awkward for the rest of our lives. Which one is it?
Oh, my gosh.
That was hilarious. I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I was going to say, before the podcast officially started, Melinda and I found out that her amazing daughter's birthday is March 23rd, which is my birthday, and that she is a Leo mom raising an amazing Aries daughter, and I am here for all of it.
Yes. And it's so funny because most of the people in my life are Leos, Aquariuses, and Tauruses. That's just, and Pisces. Those are like the four signs I've been. So when I found out I was having an Aries, I was like, I have no experience, right? But then I realized I actually do have so many amazing women Aries in my life that I didn't know were Aries. And even just meeting you now, I'm like, oh, I feel so good now. Like, I have these examples of Aries that are incredible women. So I'm raising a strong, incredible woman. I'm very excited about that.
It is true. We are strong. And I'll say about Aries too, listen, this is the good thing, I think. And I found this among all women Aries are, if you cross us, we don't get revenge. We're not like, we don't waste time and all that. We just cut you out and then we move on. And I think that is such a good quality because you don't waste the time. Listen, I have 3 Scorpios in my home and all they do is plot and plan how they're going to get back at you. How they're going to sting you. What a bunch of wasted time. My thing is, that person's out and moving forward. You know, your daughter does not suffer fools. She's going to be like, no, thank you, and then move on very nicely. And then no hate, no.
That's good.
Listen, do you, but I'm not with me.
Yeah. I love it. It's funny you say that because.
I like to get petty revenge. Go on.
Yeah, no. Even you saying that goes into what I was going to say, but I was telling my husband because, you know, taking her to the park, I was like, oh, you know, like I wanted to make friends. Like, I don't want her to be, you know, bullied or like maybe, I don't know if he's like, to be honest, I feel like if anything, she would be the bully. Oh no. He's like, I don't think you're gonna have to worry about that with her.
I wonder if your oldest is like my oldest, Melinda, if your daughter is like my oldest, because he is also like a lot. You were saying she's like intense and just sort of action. She's action packed, which is how my oldest son is. He's always been super extra. And I remember when he was even a baby, it was like, is everyone's baby like this? Because he is like intense. And I feel like, no, they weren't all like that. And he also slept well and did a lot of things early. So you may have a Rex on your hands.
It sounds like I do. It feels like I do. I mean, I enjoy every day with her, obviously, but I also know what's going to happen on any given day. And even when I took her to my parents the other day, she usually goes to my parents on the weekends to see my dad. And my mom texts. I was like, oh, I'm going to take a quick shower. I just finished working. I'll be right there. And she was like, hurry. She was so good until she wasn't. And that right there, I just feel like is a log line for toddlers. They were so good until they weren't.
And they just,
it's so true,
switch like that too. Yeah, everything's great, and then there you invoke their rage, and they're the maddest person you've ever seen, and you're like, who are you? Why are you so hateful towards me? And then they'll just turn again and be like, can I have a cookie? You're like, who the what? Whiplash. Well, let me get started here, everybody. I have a story to tell you. Is it a story? It's just another. Okay, so
another day in the life.
It's just like, you know, why this podcast exists. So last year, my kids did not go to summer camp because everyone was like, we're in a pandemic and we're frightened. And so we won't go anywhere. This year, we're like, we're in a pandemic. We're frightened. We will live like nothing is different. So we're all living normal, I guess, right now. Anyway, so the year before last year, though, so the last time they've been at camp, my sons got kicked out of camp. They were asked not to come back.
Oh, no.
My now 9-year-old and 10-year-old. So that would have been like 7 and 8, right?
Yeah.
And because they were fighting, even though they weren't, I think, in the same group, they were still, they would fight. They would fight with each other. They were like disrespectful towards the counselors.
Both of them?
No, that's true. No. Just the oldest.
Yeah, I was gonna say your middle one doesn't seem like he's a he would do that. Maybe he would, but the he seems
there's no, still time.
My middle one has a temper, and he oftentimes will he's very sensitive, and he will be set off. He's like he's totally cool. He's like 90%, you know, green. But there's no yellow, and then there's just red, 10% red, and it's burning hot rage. And he's always been that way, honestly, ever since he was a baby.
Right. So if you flip that switch, it's like gone. He's gone.
Yeah, and like a curtain comes down for him. I don't think he can like think clearly.
Oh yeah.
He's just like rage.
I have
like,
two of those kids. Yes, when it falls, yeah. The rage curtain falls, and it's over.
The rage. Yeah. It's you
guys
like
are
a
making me just
want to
keep this one.
Well, Melinda. You know,
you're not wrong.
Not a bad idea. I mean, part of this podcast is just a, like a public service to people.
Just so you just so, let people know.
That's right.
It's just a PSA.
One and
it.
Done is lots of fun. There you go. We had a nice little rhyme. One and done. Keep your money and travel is another way to put it.
I love that.
Okay. So last year they got, oh yeah, and then my oldest two summers ago got kicked out. He was like just on their last nerve. And then finally it was like, Rex, can you move over? And he was like, your mom can move over. And that was the final straw. And he was asked not to come back. So he's, you know, it's just a bit much. Okay, so this year we sent them back to that camp because we don't learn. And
I love you, Betsy. I love you. I love it. It's like, you know what? Let's just try to things have right. you've been trapped in a house together, going crazy, getting more and more right insane. Let's go back to that same camp. What could go wrong?
That is so funny. Some you're like, I know you told us so not to come back, but
yeah, but that was before right. quarantine. You're not ready like, for my I kids guess... now. Now they're full right. feral. So get ready.
Oh, they are full feral.
My kids aren't too. I say that with no judgment zone. My kids are also like. Beasts, like literally could throw food on the ground and they'll eat it up and then like yeah.
But I love the lesson you're teaching that if at first you don't succeed, try again. Like, so that's what you're doing. You're trying again. That's wonderful.
I think you are so 100% right. I think I thought that just meant that summer.
Not indefinitely.
I was like, okay, we will not come back. This summer, see you in 2 years.
See you in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, why am I a fucking idiot? All
this
right.
is incredible.
I love that I didn't notice that and that you did instantly. Okay.
But what you said, Betsy, is true. Camps are prohibitively expensive. Like,
so
they're
expensive.
Insane. Like, I'm with you. My mm-hmm. oldest went to camp at his school because it was, like, a school-funded camp. It was free, y'all. It was from 9 to 1. And everyone's like, it's not a full day. I'm like, it's free. I'm taking it. So we did the 3 weeks we could do. And now he's at 1 week of camp. That is so expensive. I mean, listen, they're running him ragged, which is great. He has a crazy mask tan. Like, he looks like he's all tan here and then white down here. It's like, what's happening? But anyway.
It's like the opposite of when people go skiing.
Yes. He is the opposite tan. But I feel like a lot of kids are going to have this new mask tan because they're all outside of masks. So anyway.
Luckily, no one will know.
Yeah. True enough. But I get what you're saying. So if I found a camp like that I could afford or was like, you know, like the park camps that are subsidized, I would go back because they make it, it's so wrong. It makes me so mad. When we grew up, camps were not like this. Our parents could afford a camp. And now it's like insane.
Yeah. Even the inexpensive ones, are at expensive. Least in Los Angeles, are like $425 a week.
That's expensive. And
a week?
A week.
A week. And a lot of times that's...
That's like that community college.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like legitimately, that's like taking 3 credits at a community college. It is.
And then you have...
If only they could come home with an associate's degree at the end of the summer.
That would be great. Just could you imagine?
That would be the dream.
Like you're ahead of the game. Right.
It's like, sorry, Ronnie, our accountant. My son just graduated from Pan Pacific Accounting Camp, and now he's doing my... Worth it.
Oh, man.
Worth it. I'm sorry, Betsy, go on.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I was just sighing. I was sighing at my own stupidity. So yeah, camps are really expensive. Even the cheap ones are expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, even us sending them to the cheapest place that we could find at the Parks and Rec, it was still like thousands of dollars. We have 3 kids. So think of the cheapest and then... You know, even the, oy, 400 times three, and how many weeks are there of summer?
Yeah,
so it's just, it's crazy. So I always try to find the cheapest shit I can find. And so they got kicked out again.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
When?
I should have told you the whole story. Sorry. Let me backtrack.
But it was worth that moment of like, so part two.
Yeah. Hey, we're back.
And we're back. And then we're kicked out.
So first of all, when I sign them up for camp, they're like, we have to put them in the same group because of COVID and pods.
Oh,
and I was like, you really shouldn't. They will definitely fight. They've been together nonstop for the last year and a half plus.
Yes, they have.
And this is not a good idea. And they were like, well, we have to. And yeah, and it was like, you know them, everyone here. Like, you know them. So you know that this
out.
Is a yeah. Yeah. You kicked them out. Don't you remember they have a record? So, yeah, that's funny, though. They weren't, they at no point where they were like, they can't come back. Come on, now. They were like, all right. So, so they come back. They got kicked out. One of my sons punched another kid. My kids punched each other, kicked each other.
Gosh.
They're just a mess. Although, I have to say, the very first time I got a call, it was something like, hey, Ms. Stover, there was an incident. Your son told your other son to shut up. And I was like, wait, what?
You're like, okay.
And they're like, can you please come pick them up? And I was like, I'll do my best. I did not do my best. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to come pick my kids up because one of them told the other to shut up. The crazy things they say to each other in the car.
You were like, well, what did he say?
Yeah, right? I was like, well, what did he do? Why is he telling him to shut up? He must have needed to shut up. So they were finally asked to not come back. And and then we sent them to a different Parks and Rec because we cannot have these people home, Jessica. They can't be home.
But how's the new camp going? How's the new one going?
Well, it's another Parks and Rec, and here's what we are realizing. You get what you pay for.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So at the new camp the other day, I came and picked them up, and the guy there, first of all, not wearing a mask indoors, cool. And the guy
chill, cool
around all our children, Delta, great. And then he's like, "Oh boy, Ajax is your kid," and I was like, "Yes." And he's like,
"What an opening line!"
I know, right?
Right? It was like, "Yes, okay, yes, sir. I know. Just get to the part where you fucking tell me." So So he's like, your son was mad, blah, 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 and I'm really crying, blah, 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 and was really mad because he lost a game. And I was like, okay. And then what happens, it turns out, is so Ajax was playing some kind of, you know, kickball or whatever. He got out. He was upset. He went to a counselor and was upset. And the counselor was like, hey, don't act like a crybaby.
Nope.
And mm-mm. then my son was upset and did cry. And the guy, like, didn't do any, he just kind of, like, moved on. Like, he wasn't like, hey, you know,
yeah,
let's talk about, like, you know, when we lose, it's frustrating. It's okay to have feelings. Let's, you know, whatever. This is a person who has chosen to work with children. called my 9-year-old a crybaby. And then, okay, so anyway.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I have some notes for you.
Right.
Yeah, I have some notes.
Yeah, don't bully the children. You're not paid to bully our kids.
Maybe you should be kicked out.
Yeah, you need to be kicked out.
Yes. When I talked to the lead guy there, he was like, yeah, well, he didn't call him a crybaby. And I was like, well, but he did, right? And he's like, well, he just said, don't act like a crybaby. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what that means. And I was like, this is like toxic masculinity bullshit, dude. Like, this is what people told you and me when we were growing up so that we would stuff our feelings down. And it really, it did us all a real number on us, right? And he's like, well, you know, but he would. And it was just like, I get it, man. Like, yeah, he is a fucking crybaby. But like, you don't say that to his face. And also, it's all right to cry.
Yeah.
So, like, come on. So that's where I'm at. Anyway.
So they're not in camp.
Oh, no, they're back at the crybaby camp today.
You're like, because I needed to get rid of him. Sorry. So.
I hope you don't get bullied and abused today, but mama's got shit to do.
Yeah, listen, mama's gonna find you a nice therapist to talk about your camp days later, but today
I gotta work. Yeah. I gotta do my podcast. I gotta gossip about you in public.
Just throw that on the bill, your therapy bill. We'll talk about it later.
They were supposed to go next week. We're gonna not send them next week. But, you know, today's Thursday. It was water day. I just figured no one gets like, abused in the water.
Well, if he's crying in the water, they can't tell.
No one will know.
No one will know.
Oh, my God. If anyone calls you a crybaby, just say, I have a wet face.
Yeah. You say you're a crybaby because everyone's a crybaby on water day. You're all crying.
Oh my God. When that same kid was much smaller, so he's very easy to cry. This is every listener. This is the one who throws up all the time. He also cries all the time. And he's one of those kids, like, you could probably get him to cry for anything, like, if you really tried. If you were like, you know, Ajax, sometimes when I think about snails, don't they really want to get out of that shell? Like, you could, it could be anything. And he'd be like, like, he would start, he's just very sensitive. And you know, I've said it on the show before. Like, it is hard, I get it, to not be like, you're a crybaby, like, nut up. Yeah. But you can't do that. That's not healthy or good. But when he was littler, he used to say, we'd be like, Ajax, are you crying? And he would say, no, my eyes are just milked. And that meant it was like milk came out of his eyes, or they were melting. It was like milky melt is coming out of my eyes. My eyes are just milked.
Oh, my goodness. Sweetness.
That's adorable.
Today's episode was brought to you by Fume. Get started using the power of superplants to support your wellness. Fume is a non-electronic, natural inhaler made to receive the benefits of essential oils. There are no chemicals, no vapor, no smoke. Here's how it works. You take this handcrafted Canadian maple wooden inhaler, and you can put in different plant-infused cores. And the air that you inhale through the core is filled with the benefits of essential oils. It's like aromatherapy at your fingertips. And these are 100% pure essential oil-infused cores. Organic, non-GMO, sustainably and ethically sourced essential oils. So you go over to breathefume.com/WMD and you take a little quiz to find out what super plants are best for you. It takes less than 30 seconds and the quiz helps you zero in on which essential oils are going to help you the best. But you know, not only is this great for a little aromatherapy that's going to help you calm, help you focus, but Fume is a perfect natural way to quit smoking and vaping. There's no electronics, there's no harmful chemicals, there's no nicotine. You can order their Quit Naturally pack. And it comes with 5 different formulas to help you naturally with nicotine cravings, menthol cravings, the stress that comes along with quitting smoking. Plus, with your Fume, you still have that nice hand-to-mouth habit. I'm holding Fume in my hand right now, and I have it loaded with a cozy chai core. And it truly smells like I'm up in a cabin with woolly socks on and I'm watching the snow fall drinking a chai, except I'm just breathing cozy chai through my Fume inhaler. Listeners of Why Mommy Drinks get 10% off when you go to breathefume.com/WMD. And that's Fume, F-U-M. It's like there's no E, but there's little umlauts on top of the U, like Husker Du. So it's breathefume, F-U-M. .com/WMD, or you can just use the code WMD to save 10% off and you can quit smoking or vaping naturally today. Breathefume.com/WMD. So Melinda, please tell us what has broken you.
Well, as I mentioned before, my daughter, she's like a pit bull. You have to give her lots of activity. You got to wear them out, right? And I love pit bulls. I do love that breed of dog. So that's not a bad thing.
But and I love that they rapper. They have a lot of pit energy. Pit bull rapper. Right. She's bringing it around the world, baby.
I love, though, that you're not like, she's like an Australian sheepdog or whatever. No, she's a pit bull.
She's
so
a pit
she's
bull.
Not like a dog with a job, like, got to keep them fucking busy. It's more like, describe to me what a pit bull means.
She has to be worn out.
Got it.
She has to be worn out.
You have to run
but
her.
One particular day, which is the story that I'm about to tell.
Great.
So I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm very, very lucky to have my parents live literally 4 minutes away from us, okay? Aww. And my mother was very adamant and very insulted that I even mentioned having a babysitter or a nanny, right? Like, she's like, I've wanted a grandchild, and now you're going to have somebody else watch her during the day? I think not. So I was like, fine, you're free. I'm not going to argue with you about this.
Is your mom retired?
Both of my parents are retired. They have been waiting patiently for a grandchild. My sister is a fourth grade teacher and said, I'm not having kids, so stop asking me. Go talk to Melinda. My husband and I had been married for, 7 years, and she was hello, where's my kid?
Okay.
And I was like,
thank you.
I want to go to some
context.
Places. Right. Right.
And
but I did tell my mom, I was like, you know
your
what?
Time.
Right. We took our time, but I was like, also, can you not bother me until I'm the age of when you had me? Because if it's past that age, then you can come talk to me. But I haven't even reached that age yet. So you need to just back up for a second. Love my mom. But I reached the age when she had me. So I was like, okay, we should probably have a kid now.
I'll have my baby for you now.
Yeah, exactly. Sienna is a pandemic baby. We had her 2 weeks after the stay-at-home order in LA happened. I was 1 week away from not being able to have my husband there, which would have been very, very scary. All that to say, we've been very lucky to be home together. And my mom, she comes over here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday and watches her for a few hours while I really do have the best situation. Watches her while my husband and I work. And then she goes over to my parents' house on Saturdays and spends a couple hours there with her to see my dad. So Wednesdays are what I call mommy and me days or help me days. But I'm by myself on Wednesdays.
Oh,
and
right.
Help me days in that you are maybe standing in the middle of a field with your arms up just going, help me. Is that what you mean?
Yes, because for people, I mean, obviously having kids, there comes a point when you just run out of things to do with a child at any given time. So my husband's a lawyer, so he, you know, he works a lot and he is with her in the mornings, but I usually take over on Wednesdays at 8:30 and then I'm with her until 6. And that is a lot for a pit bull. Like, I'm just emphasizing that because she has a lot of energy. And again, she started walking very early. She started walking at 8.5 months. But this particular day, she was 9.5 months. So it was, like, I think around Christmas time. It was a Wednesday. I was by myself. And usually in the morning, you know, we have a backyard, which we're very lucky to have. So she can run, you know, we'll go for walks. We have a dog as well, who still is kind of terrified of her because he's like, what is this? You know, our dog Cora, she's slowly warming up to Sienna, but it's not quite there yet. And I'm like, it's been a year and a half. She's not going anywhere.
What is Cora like? Is she little? Is she big?
She's little. She is a Corgi Spaniel mix and she's 14 pounds. So Sienna is now, you know, bigger than her and runs. I remember specifically when Sienna started crawling, I saw the look in Cora's eyes like, oh shit, like this thing moves now.
She's like, things done changed. That's what just happened. She's like, nope, I didn't buy into this.
This. And now that she started climbing, Cora's like, I have no safe space.
No.
In this house.
No. Cora's right.
Boy. Yeah. Welcome to Parenthood, Cora.
Yeah. So I get it. I feel bad. I'm sorry. She's here to stay. You're just going to have to get used to her, right? But this particular day, Sienna it was around 9.5 months around Christmas time. It was a Wednesday. I was by myself. And she loves books, which is great. She's really into learning, really into, you know, hearing stories. But, you know, there's only so many times you can read Whose Toes Are Those? Like, we know they're your toes, Sienna. Can we move on to another book? You know, been 15 times, right?
It's like, God bless. I'm so glad you love this book. Yeah. But also, if I read it again, I'm going to
throw it away.
Yeah. Throw it away. That's what's going to happen. Exactly right. This book's going to disappear in the night.
It's crazy. But she transitioned to one nap a little too quickly, and I was very upset by that, right? So at this point, she was only taking one nap, but it was a longer nap, right? So I was like, okay, so I knew I would have two hours at least in the middle of the day on Wednesday. I go to put her down for a nap, and she, at this point in her life, she knows when nap time is. She knows when the sound machine comes on. She knows her whole nap time routine and everything, right? I put her in the crib. I leave the room. She just starts wailing. And I was like, okay, she'll stop wailing. It'll be fine. I go to start, you know, doing things that, you know, you have limited time that energizer battery into your body. You have to go like bam, 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 right? Like,
yes.
Okay. Or the moment you lay down on the couch, then it's game over. Yeah. Yes. You have to take advantage of that momentum. And the moment they lay down, you're not waiting for them to fall asleep.
No.
You're like, I got shit to do.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And it's crazy how they know when you sit down. They know when you stop moving because that's either when they wake up or that's when they like have a poopy diaper or like something. They just know when you've stopped accomplishing or just to take a breath. It's they're so in tune with you. It's really annoying. Like, I need you to just kind of stop, be tethered to me for this moment. Please give me my 2 hours of just any kind of peace. But you can't. You just have to keep moving. So I start doing the things that I need to do. And she's still wailing. And I'm like, this is so weird. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it some time. 15 minutes goes by. 20 minutes goes by. She finally stops crying. I'm like, okay, oh, great. But she's just sitting in her crib. She's just sitting in the crib. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. Sitting, not doing anything, playing with her socks, taking her socks off, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. She sits there, I kid you not, for almost an hour and 30 minutes until she starts crying again. And I was like, okay, she's not going to nap. She's just not going to nap today. So I go in there. I'm like, maybe she'll just fall asleep on me. What could go wrong, right? Maybe she'll fall asleep on me. And we've all done that. We've all, you know, you shouldn't let them quote unquote sleep on you. I don't care. Like if some, I need them to sleep because if they don't, it's going to be hell.
That's right.
The rest of the day.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
So I go in there. I'm like, okay, maybe you'll sleep on me. I pick her up. I lay her on my shoulder. She just starts just talking, just, you know, whatever. And I'm like,
she's like, welcome back.
Okay, you're wide awake. So I try to sing to her. I'm rocking her in the rocking chair. Wide freaking awake.
Yeah.
Okay. She's been up. She wakes up usually like around 6:30. But at this point, it's like 1:30. And that's a long time for a 9.5-year-old, right?
Yes, it is.
Right?
Nine
and a half months. That's probably too long for a 9.5-year-old, too.
Oh,
Nine and a half months, right? I'm like, okay, she's not going to sleep. Okay, let me just take her. Maybe I'll feed her lunch. Maybe she'll like get the itis and get tired and fall asleep, yeah, right? Give her lunch. Wide freaking awake. I'm like, okay, let's play. Let's, you know, pit bull, right? Give you lots of activity. You're going to take some form of a nap. 2:30, 3:30,
nope.
4:30,
nope.
5:30.
No.
This child is wide awake.
Okay.
And is she like mad? Is she kind of pissed off? Is she, what's her deal?
This is the terrifying thing. She was completely fine.
Oh.
And that's scary to me because at least if she got overtired and was like cranky, having a fit, she would have, you know, it would make sense. But she was completely fine. And I was like, I'm afraid of you in this moment because I'm not even fine when I've been up this long and I haven't had any form of like rest. Why are you completely fine? By the
and
time
also,
my husband got off work.
I need you to need a nap.
I need you to need a nap, but also I'm going to put you to bed at like 6 o'clock at this point because you
yes,
have
that's
not
right.
slept, right?
Yeah.
So by the time my husband got off work, I was like, I'm not dealing with her anymore. I have run out of things to do. Literally run out of things to do. There's only so much. And, you know, we don't do TV. And so obviously for 9.5-month-old, I definitely wasn't doing TV at that point, and we still haven't. But I was like, I don't know what to do with this child anymore. we've gone on walks. We've played. We ran. We played with the dog. We played with blocks. We've built things. We've tried to color. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. I literally just, I was like, you're off work. Love you. And I just peaced out.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I was like, I got to go for a drive. I got to leave.
Right.
I can't. Because mm-hmm. I was terrified that she was up for that long. And then I was thinking, if she doesn't go back to napping, I have no idea what we're going to do. If at 9.5 months. Now, granted, it was a fluke day, but I was going to lose it. I think I did lose it at the end of that day. But oh, that was like, that was one of the worst days because you don't know what to do with kids at that point.
No, it's a marathon and you've run out.
It was a
of
marathon.
Steam. Yeah.
It was a
and
marathon.
And if you have a pit bull, it's a fast sprinting kind of marathon.
That's the thing. And she's just, yeah. I mean, again, love her. She's amazing. I have fun, but there's a limit. Yeah. And everybody in my family has experienced the limit with her. They're like, okay, it's been 4 hours. Like somebody else needs to take over a Sienna shift.
I love it. Punch the time clock. I'm out. Right. It's 4:05. Someone come get her.
And it's a quick out. It's a quick like, okay, love you. Bye. Next.
Melinda, again, what you are describing sounds so much like my oldest kid who also did not require, he didn't nap a ton. Mm. He dropped his second nap very early. And I must, you know, this is an advice-free zone and I'll just caution, I'll just say it to the air and if Melinda hears it. But around a year and a half, I think, he was just like, I don't nap. At all. I have shit to do. I have too much to think about and figure out. And so he just stopped napping altogether. And I tried for a long time to be like, well, maybe you just like chill out in your room for a little while. And that was like not practical. It was like not happening.
Yeah, I'm worried that's going to happen soon. She does still take a nap, but it's only an hour. So that's a quick hour.
It's a quick
it's like
hour. Yeah.
You do things and then she's up. And then I'm like, did I get anything done?
No. You know, it's so funny. I know, I'm going to throw some non-advice into the wind as well. that is just, I feel like when it gets to like that hour point, I feel like you have every right to be like, I'm not doing anything in that hour. Like, I'm literally going to, because you know it's so short, that it almost serves anyone in the wind that might be listening to just like sit down and like watch a show or like take a quick cat nap. Because I found that when you try to get it in an hour, you don't get anything done. You get annoyed and then it wastes that precious
hour.
Tired. So why not just use it for like, I don't know, like whatever you want. Like I want to look at this. I don't know. I'm going to watch this Netflix show. I'm going to whatever, like whatever I'm going to do. Take a nap for 40 minutes.
Nothing right. serious that requires attention.
Exactly. Because you're right, Melinda. I feel like within that hour, is it really even a full hour? Like they could get up early that day. It takes them 15 minutes to go. I mean, it's like at that point, it's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. By the time you get your like crazy mom brain to like focus and like really get into it.
Yeah, they're like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. But I love this phase of her life right now. It's very fun, like as she's discovering a new vocabulary. It's fun to try to figure out what she's talking about. And like the other day she kept saying, boon, boon. And I was like, oh, you want your spoon. I gave her spoon, full-blown tantrum, on the floor, started crying. I was like, okay, you don't want your spoon. But like, if you heard boon, what would you think? You would think spoon. Right?
Yes, or that boon's that alcohol. Is that Boone's wine?
She's like, Mama, you need a wine cooler.
You need a drink.
I need to go drink in the woods with my friends. It's a nice Boone's wine.
So I gave her three different spoons and none of the spoons were right. Like, it's like full blown tantrum. Like, you're not listening to me. I open the refrigerator and she's pointing, going, Boone, Boone, Boone. She's saying blue because she wanted blueberries.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. Well,
that's on her. That's on
told
her.
Now I know that Boone is blueberries and I can avoid the tantrum. But it was like three different times. And I mean, she's like a body thrower. She's like full blown, like on the floor. Like, I'm going to win an Emmy in this moment because you're not listening to me. So I'm giving you all the Viola Davis Meryl Streep beats that I can give you in this right now.
She is giving you Viola Davis realness with the tears, the snot. Yeah. I love Viola Davis. She's like my dream. I'm with you.
Love her.
I love her. I saw her in Fences on Broadway. This is a tangent. And let me just tell you, first of all, she was a Denzel, who I love Denzel. And I love Denzel. I think Denzel is one of the best. I love him. That being said, he could not hold a candle next to my woman. Viola came and she gave it to you. And I think it's the end of the second act. She has that big speech.
Yeah.
Not speech. She's a monologue. Sorry. And
she gives a speech
about human rights. She went off book. We were all there for it.
Imagine though, somebody did that in the middle of a Broadway show.
Yes. I can see that. All of a sudden I'm like,
you're like, I actually can.
I want to talk about something that's on my mind. What?
Viola. she was in that moment, that monologue, the audience got so quiet, like at that moment where everyone's like, oh, and hanging on every word. It was, she was asking for blueberries in a way. Boons. She was giving me boons realness. It was amazing.
She's like, you can have all of the boons, Viola.
Oh, my goodness. But I love that when kids are like, she knew. Sienna knew exactly what she wanted.
Yeah.
And she was not going to let you get off until you knew exactly what she wanted.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
That's that pit bull.
We have like the different words. It is her pit bull. It is. And I love that, like, they're saying it. They're so intentional with what they're saying. They're like, no, this is what I'm saying.
No,
and I'm like,
idiot,
I don't know what you're
saying. It. Yes. And they're so, and I get it. You're there. It's probably like living in a foreign country and you're just like, I need a toilet. And everyone's like, you need a whatever, a book? No, I need a fucking toilet. Where is it? And everyone's like, oh, here's a lot of different books you might like. And you're like, you fuckheads! So that must be what it's like, right?
That's absolutely. It has to be. It has to be so frustrating. I get it. Oh, man. That's a great analogy.
My youngest is like speech delayed and he used to get so mad. And he would have a Viola Davis tantrum. Oh boy. But Melinda, I know you have to go. Can you please tell everyone where to find you? You know, all of that type of stuff.
Of course, I keep it very simple. It's just Melinda Hale across the board. So Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify. Just Melinda Hale, MalyndaHale. And yeah, I post a good mix of my own podcast, my music, and then pictures of my adorable little Sienna when she's not in her pit bull state.
Awesome. And tell everyone, what is your podcast called?
Yes, my podcast is called Hashtag We Need to Talk, and I have a multitude of just incredible guests, and we talk about everything, you know, from social justice to mental health to LGBTQ rights, religion, things like that, just topics that are really important to me that need to be talked about. So it's really hard-hitting and meaningful conversations.
Amen. I love it. I can't wait. I'm Melinda. I'm in, following you on everything. So yes. Get out here.
You
please
are.
Please do.
You are saying all the right words.
You are. All the right words. You're saying everything that I feel like as parents, especially in this day and age, that we're trying to like tackle in a, like you said, meaningful, what's the word? Intentional.
Yes. Yes.
Way. And also being aware of like how, where are we raising our kids? Like how do we keep the spaces truly diverse and not, you know, I think about that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's what I do love is that people are focusing on it more. But I think also because, you know, people will say like, oh, if you don't bring something up, it's not an issue. It's like, no, but it's how you bring it up to not make it an issue.
That's
so,
right.
For example, like when you're exposing kids to books or dolls, like of course, let's say a little girl wants a doll that looks like them. Great. Get her friends that look like other people so that it's not a weird thing when they go out into the world. You know what I mean? So like for Sienna, but my daughter's biracial. She's going to have a mix of different experiences and things that she's exposed to. So a lot of the books that we have just people that look like her, but also look like different. So it's not going to be different when she goes out into the world. I think that that's the main thing because it starts at home. Can't put the pressure on the teachers. That's another podcast, another conversation. But it's just all about exposing them to something so that it's not a foreign experience when they go out into the
world. Agreed.
Yes. It's so fascinating to see the way that my kids react to things that when I was a kid would have been just mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, oh, yeah, this kid at camp uses they them pronouns. And that's just a fact about them. And they don't even. That's the end of the conversation. Like,
exactly.
They're just like, that's the thing with Chris, you know? And when we were kids, we would have been like, what are you talking about? I mean, we know lots of adults that would still be like, what?
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. They're accepting, and the more you surround them with different life experiences, the less of a. Yeah, it's just sort of like, well, of course, that's
this what, is just how it is. What, yeah, and then you just go about your business. You're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
I
love that. Well, Melinda, thank you for coming on the show.
Of
Melinda,
course.
You are doing a great job.
An amazing job.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here.
And again, listeners, thank you so gorgeous woman.
Yes.
Gorgeous
woman. Not. If she wasn't, we would also love her and say, go check out
no,
her.
No, I wouldn't. I'd say,
work.
Listen, if you're not into, I'm kidding. Of course I would. Of course I would. I just feel like in this year of pandemic when I'm basically, whatever, I'm always astounded. I'm like, people still get it together. And Melinda has got it together. So.
It's a rare occasion, trust me. Well, as you heard.
Yeah.
The pit bull. There's not a lot of time. It's like a rush.
Yeah.
Well, here, Jessica and I can finish up the show if you've got to get out of here, Melinda.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you both soon. All right, take care.
All right. Bye. Bye, Melinda.
Aww. That was so nice.
Oh.
I love it.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. She's so lovely and nice.
All right. Well, here, you and I will continue the show.
Yes. The show goes on.
Delightful. The show must go on, regardless of Melinda being here or not.
That's right.
Jessica, no, it's just
us. That's just us.
Girlfriends. What's been breaking you?
I mean, I just feel like I was trying to think of like a specific thing, but I think it's just the monotony. It's the weird monotony of COVID, but it's like the monotonous terror of it all.
Yeah, the plotting.
The plotting, the mask buying,
horror,
the weighing of risk. And at the same time, I've just become kind of like numb, but not numb. I don't even know what the feeling is anymore, but I'm just over it. And like every day feels the same, but not in like a, I don't know. So it just feels heavy.
Not in a comforting way.
No, there's no comfort. Yeah. So that makes it just like when I was, when Melinda was like, oh, and I remember having a, one child and having them be young and being like, no TV. And now it's like when I heard her said that, I'm like, I am, I don't think I parented truly in the last year. I'm like, oh, it's, somebody left the house at 9 a.m. It's time for Roblox, everybody. Like, I just can't. I just can't do it anymore. You know?
Yeah.
I just can't. I wish I could. I want to. Sometimes I'll do like, let's make a potion outside. And then maybe that's like 40 minutes. And I'm like, wow, I'm mother of the year. I think I can stop parenting for another 4 months now. Like, oh, it's bad.
No,
but I also just can't.
If you're bad, I'm terrible because I also.
Yeah, but I just can't. I because of that numbness, I'm just like, meh, we're good. I mean, the same as you're saying about the camp, like that risk factor, right? Like my oldest is at camp. And it's so awesome to have him out of the house. And to have
because it's been relentless. Yes. They haven't been out of the house.
No. And my little one is still here because he couldn't get into the free camp because he's too young. He will next year.
Yep.
And then this year, I didn't sign him up for the camp that costs money because I just didn't. And then I was like, oh, I guess I will. But then it was too late. They were all sold out. And whatever, sold out, whatever it's called. The camp was sold out.
It was, filled.
Filled. And
story of my life, Jessica.
Yeah. Yes. So he's home, and he's currently right now in the back. I mean, this is my great parenting win, is my husband and I have devised a plan where we say that Roblox cannot be, you can't get to it until my oldest son comes home. Does that stop him from being on the tablet? No, but he's doing educational. And I am saying in quotes because these are educational games. He's basically just not doing Roblox, which he was doing 24 hours a day. He can't do it until my son gets home.
Oh, yeah.
So this morning,
the idea of educational stuff, like in my house, has become like that. It's just a, it's just this. What it's like,
she's making a sign of a hill going down, like a just sliding,
it's like erosion,
it's like erosion.
And there's like a house on top, and you're like, oh, it's just a matter of time before that thing just slides down. Because, at our house, it was like color by number on an iPad, like that's not educational, but somehow it was. No, go on.
No, but I feel like that's what's, I feel like this, it's the slow burn kill of just can't seem to rally. The Olympics are so problematic on so many levels. However, they are getting me through. Like, I started thinking like, oh no, there's only like, what they say today, 3 days left of the Olympics or something. And I'm like, what am I going to do when it's gone? Like, I truly am like, it gives you something to watch at night and hope. And like these people that are like, these athletes that are just amazing and living their dreams. I mean, it's like.
Living their dreams.
And even if they come in second or whatever, third, like, it's also that great thing of like, my husband and I completely talk about like, What a disservice we've done to ourselves. As a country of, like, only gold. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, when people are on there crying because they got a silver, I'm always like, well, are you crazy? Like, this is amazing. But then I think
you're
maybe,
right, though.
Whatever.
We had NBA's Richard Jefferson on this show, and they had gotten, like, a bronze in basketball, maybe, or it could have even maybe been a silver. And it was as if, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, you are an Olympic winner. And they were like, well, he was like, I mean, it was, and it was just like, what are you, the fact that you went to the Olympics, period.
Yes.
Is amazing. And then you won an award.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you talking about? Like, and also, who are these people that are like, you fucking idiot, you only got a bronze?
I know. Well, it's like the whole Simone Biles thing. I mean, I'm going real off topic. Sorry. I mean, but that
it's
wolf
topical.
Is right.
It won't be topical when this
it
airs.
It won't be topical
fair.
When it airs. Even though it might
you
stay
all
topical.
Remember what
but,
happened.
I mean, I just feel like, when I'm always like, who are these people? I guess I just think in my head, I guess like the better part of myself is like the people that are like coming after Simone Biles. I'm like, I guess you're just a really unhappy, full of hate, sad person, because what are you, like, truly, at the end of the day, what are you talking about?
Here, you want to hear what it is? I think personally, it all wraps back around to what my son experienced at camp, which is, don't be a fucking crybaby.
Yeah.
Push it down deep inside.
That's right.
And by you accepting that, it allows me to accept that the people in my life who I thought loved me, who told me to do that, that's okay that they did that. It was okay that they told me to stuff 100%. My feelings down and not be a fucking crybaby. And if I recognize that it's, you know, it's not okay to do that, then it makes me recognize that it wasn't okay for other people to do that to me. And that I have to reckon with the way that, you know, people in my life who I love were abusive towards me. Right?
Amen. Yes. 1,000 times yes. I think that 100% that. And then I think then you just add on, you know, the American topping of white supremacy on the top. The idea of like telling a black woman what to do and feeling you have the right to do that.
She needs to. She needs to obey me, and she's lucky. She's for us.
Yes, perform, and you're representing us. And it's like, sit down. You're rocking the boat. You see, I lifted it back up. I brought it back up after that heavy. I brought it back to musical theater. You're rocking the boat.
Sit down. You're rocking the boat. Simone Biles.
Yes.
Oh wait. That some white guy on Twitter.
That's right. All right. But
but none of these people who are like bad mouthing her or being like, hold on. None of these people have a gold medal. None of these people are the best at what they do. They are jealous.
Yes.
I mean, it's like in school when someone was mean to you and your mom would be like, they're just jealous of you. And you'd be like, okay, mom. But there you go. They're just fucking. Deep down inside, they are jealous of Simone Biles, who is in charge of herself.
That's right.
In spite of being a black woman.
Yeah.
She is the boss of her own damn self. And people don't like that.
People don't. Yeah. And you're right. People don't like that she knows what makes her healthy. And it's not your opinion. Guess what?
Yeah.
She knows her being. I mean, it's uplifting that way. Like, oh, we all have that right to say, you know what? I'm not doing this. I've reached the point. I mean, I don't know if I can wrap it back around. I was going to say, that's why I don't parent anymore. I've reached my limit, Betsy, and I can't do it any longer.
You know, honestly, here, this is what wraps it all together. Someone recently pointed out, it's probably on Twitter, it's probably some random person on Twitter, how it's fucked that in America we see like working your butt off until the day you die like an admirable thing instead of like a fucked up thing about our society.
Yes.
That it's like, he's 95 and he goes to work for minimum wage greeting people at Walmart. Like, no, dude, that's a fucked up thing. That man should be enjoying the twilight years of his life, you know, and like we should be enjoying our children and instead we're working our butts off and, you know, yes.
Agreed. Yeah, and it's that too, right? It's like that's the other component, which I think I'm just so numb to now. The idea of like money, like, right? Like how do you, it's been such a hard, I don't even know. I mean, are we saying 2 years now? I don't even know what we're saying. What is time?
I mean, it will be.
It will be.
By the end. By the
well,
end.
Well, hopefully. And like, listen, I think a big change.
Sorry, that
I
was dark. It was dark.
No, it's not. It's true. And I think I know you feel this way. I think, and I would think most of the parents and non-parents listening to this podcast, when we can give these young kids a vaccine, that is going to be such a game changer across the board. Not only, you know, physically, but like for all of us parents mentally, I think that's what we really need that in order to, I mean, we just need it. We need it.
Well, parents know that like for our friends who are child free, the pandemic is like, and they've been vaccinated.
Yes.
The pandemic is like essentially over for them.
Yes, it is.
But when you have children who have yet to be vaccinated, especially if you live in an urban setting, we are still in a lot of ways in lockdown.
Yes. Yeah. And we're living every day like that. Like, again, what's the risk assessment? What am I willing to do? And then, of course, like, we want to get the herd immunity going, because we also have friends that have immunocompromised children that cannot even get the vaccine if it happens,
cancer treatment.
Yes. And it's like, we got to do that for them too. So it's like, I just think once we can get this big, huge, just like massive children, right? Like, so many numbers will change. And so I'm kind of, that's probably why I would drink until that happens. It just feels right. It just feels so heavy. And so back to my bad parenting of like the mix of guilt and stuff of like, Roblox again. And again, the cooking, like all the stuff that at the beginning, I was like, I'm going to cook and do this. Now I'm like, chicken nuggets. Everyone feel good about that, right? Gonna have a shake. Like, I just.
My kids got sick of pizza in the pandemic.
That's amazing. My kids still will eat a pizza. That, to me, I would be so mad at them. I'd be like, you can't be sick of pizza because mama needs you to have pizza night. That's something you need to do.
You guys eat four things and I need you to not get it down to three. Yeah, Jessica, just know that I am right there with you. And I also feel constantly ashamed, but also like too tired to do anything about it. But yeah, I feel really bad parent. Mm-hmm. And my kids are on screens all the time.
When it first started, I was like, well, it'll be like 6 months or whatever, and we'll get back to, the regular scheduled program. And, twofold. One, I think it's good that we're realizing, like, we don't want to go back to how it was, because how it was not good. And I do think there is some amazing.
For people listening who, why don't you expand on that for just a second? For anyone listening who's like, I do want it to go back.
I don't mean like I don't mean like I don't want our kids to go back and be free and us as human beings having our freedoms back and be able to travel and go to work and not be fearful, like all of that. Yes, I mean more like I guess it's like the way we were not thinking, like how we were kind of. I should speak for myself, like. Not being as aware of inequity and inequality and how I was sort of not being an ally fully and not fighting the fight and kind of saying, I believe in this, but not really doing anything about it. And I feel like in the pandemic, if anything, having so like all the marches last summer and I just think it's awakened not just me, a lot of people, many people into how do I get involved? How do I make changes? I don't want things to go back to just being quiet and letting it the status quo is what I'm trying to say.
That's really interesting. I didn't think about it honestly like that, because it has been sort of a slow evolution over this period of time. The way I've been thinking about it is more that I am a slave to capitalism in a way that I had not realized.
Oh, no, that too. Correct.
And that my whole life, the way that I'm raising my children, it's all about my slavery to capitalism, and that I need to change that because it's not.
Me too.
Right. And we accepted that that's how we should live, and it's not how we should live.
No, agreed. And it's hard to see that. Obviously, it's like we've been raised in those waters, right? So it's like that's all we know. And then, but you said, like, we've had to step out of it, and you're like, well, why am I on this treadmill? Like, what am I getting at the end of this treadmill? Nothing. Like, what I'm getting, like you just said, I'm going to be 95, and it's the one thing if it's 95 and I'm working because I want to, but it's one thing if I'm working 95 because I have no savings, I can't eat, no one's supporting me, my kid, this is crazy. This is how we treat human beings. And I'm with you. I think it's a lot of awakening into that. And like, what do I want my life to look like? And I have control over what it looks like, where I live, what I'm willing, what I want my my children and my life. What's the quality of life I want? Like, what am I?
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. What am I fighting for? Like, why am I
living in one of the most expensive places I could live.
Yes. Yes.
Like, what am I going to get at the end of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Is my career going to give me a eulogy?
Right? Yeah, I'm with you. And then if it is my career and I do want it, then it's like I'm in a place now with my career, and I'm laughingly saying that, career is.
She just said career and then laughed.
Because that's what it feels like, is being more intentional of what do I want that to be. That's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is after this pandemic of being like, I don't want to go back to status quo, is in all these ways I'm saying, you're right. Get off this capitalism treadmill that I've been taught that that's where my happiness will be. And guess what? It's not. And also like not like we were talking on our mom's group about hot lunches and school lunches and like people being like, they're not healthy. And I remember my own son saying, oh, the fruit doesn't taste as good as what you get. And I was like, well, you know, the city or whatever can't afford, you know, this organic food. And then I stopped myself and I was like, wait a minute, that's a capitalist treadmill. I was like, we certainly can afford it. We just don't choose to prioritize you and the children and what we feed them. Instead, we're going to give the money to, I mean, I could go on and on, but it's like, that is the treadmill I'm getting off in my brain is.
Yeah. Let's let billionaires not pay taxes.
Yeah, exactly. That's not true. We do have that money.
So Elon Musk can go to space.
Yes.
Tax-free. But our kids have to eat garbage.
Yes.
Because
we can't afford food for our children.
They're not important.
Yes.
I guess.
Because I think they're not making money.
We've all decided they're not important.
Yeah. Because they're not making money. Right? At the bottom line, the kids are now taking money. When they can start making money, then maybe we'll give them, right? Then they're important. But as right now, all they do is suck off the system. So.
Right.
They don't get education. We don't pay our teachers. We don't pay the people, right? We don't put enough priority on that at all. I mean, enough, none. I mean,
and there's no incentive to.
No. No.
Certainly not for like the wheels of power, right?
Exactly. Because again, it's like that corporate, when I used to work in corporate America, it's like when I, at my old job, it was that thing of like, I was like, but I'm doing a great job. And somebody one day was like, yeah, but you are someone in the company that you're not out making the money. You're taking the money. Like, you get paid the salary. And yes, you help because you do all this data and you make presentations, all this stuff. But you're not the one going out making the commissions. So you're going to get treated less than because you're not bringing in. And that's the mentality. Mm. Like, somehow that – oh, that makes sense. No, it doesn't.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. When Ari used to work at BuzzFeed, the sales guys were, like, fucking rich.
Yes.
And everyone else was, like – hand to mouth, freelance type. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is an interesting turn for our comedy parenting podcast.
I know.
But
I apologize. I took it there.
No, don't apologize. It's where we're at.
It's where we're at. And I guess what I'm getting to is I don't think that's bad. I think that's good that we're all reevaluating these things. And I don't think we would have done that before COVID. So
because we didn't have the time or the space.
That's right. And I don't
and I think that's by design.
1,000 times correct. That's how you keep people from thinking. It's keeping them on the treadmill. They don't have time to think, right? So correct. Because we've been forced off this treadmill, we're actually opening our eyes, brains, hearts, souls up to bigger questions and how we want to be. And I think that is a great thing. It's painful and it's hard and it doesn't feel good, but it's
no.
It is, I think I'm hoping for the betterment of all of us. So, I'm
yeah, and we're
that.
At that sort of that matrix point where it's like, do you want to know the truth? Do you want to just sort of relax back into the safe sort of where you were before? And I think, and I understand a lot of us, I get it. You want to just kind of recede back into that comfort that we're so used to. But you're right, we have to, anyway, I got to tell you about QAnon. I want you all to take the red pill. And
wait a minute. I have some talk about – well, before we get into that, I want to talk about this Amway product I'm selling. But anyway, so I guess that's why it's so much thinking. So it's all that thinking and then trying to parent. And I guess the parenting is, you know, suffering.
Yes.
So
it's
that's
hard
what's
to
breaking.
Parent
yes.
in a pandemic – when you're trying to topple the paradigm of capitalism and white supremacy.
It's all,
and we're all just trying to eat the rich, yeah. right? Is it?
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks.
Thank you all for listening. Have a great day.
Check out Jessica Elena Eason on Instagram.
Sure.
Is it Jessica underscore Elena?
It is. You're right. Elena. It is. Yeah. Underscore Eason. Brilliant. I'm brilliant. Yeah.
And you just taped a little second season of something. Oh, yeah. You to say?
We can say, yeah, The Babysitter's Club. Please watch it. It's so great. And
when does it come out?
I don't know. Everyone keeps asking me, and I don't know when it comes out. But we'll tell you.
Second season is on the way.
They've announced it. There's definitely a second season coming. It should be coming soon. Maybe September?
If you and your family listener have not watched the first season of Babysitter's Club on Netflix, it's seriously, I am telling you 100% truthfully, it's great. It's super funny. It's super sweet. Your kids will love it. You will love it. My husband loved it. It's just a great series. And a lot of people that have been on this show have been involved either on camera, behind the camera. You know, Kimmy Gatewood directed some episodes.
Oh, yes. Rebecca Johnson was on it.
Jessica is in every episode practically, right? Like, it's great.
It's so great. And the kids, all the girls that play the babysitters are just the best. Your kids will love it. They'll become obsessed. My friends that have kids that age, like, watched it. They've watched the first season like four times, and they're like, when is the second season coming out? It's this is just a testament to the writing and to the directing and to those kids. They are phenomenal. So yes, watch Babysitter's Club, Netflix.
It's a show with a lot of heart, and that sounds so super like cliche, but it really is. It has a lot of heart. Jessica, I know you don't feel like it all the time, but I know for a fact that you are doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. And I, right back at you, Betsy. I mean, you are in a house with three boys. Just that, you're doing a great job. Just start there. The fact that they're a living, growing.
They're wearing clothes.
They're wearing clothes. They're bathed. Maybe you have to pay for it sometimes, but they're bathed.
They're literate.
I say that.
They can
read. Well, listeners, I feel like you know this. All of Betsy's children are very smart. They're more than literate. You have very, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're already winning. They're very smart, curious children, which is hard to keep in a house, but it's really going to pan out.
You too.
And you're doing an amazing job. You're keeping it all together. And Betsy has like 10 jobs, and she carries on this podcast, which I know I listen to every Monday, that keeps us all sane. So Betsy, you are, I mean, you're doing a great job, but even more, you're killing it. You keep us all laughing and feeling good about ourselves. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Jessica. Well, dear listener, if you find yourself, dear listener, going to pick up your children after they've been kicked out of camp for the second time in a row, or if you find yourself just wishing your kid would take a nap so that you could get things done, or if you find yourself having trouble parenting because you are busy toppling the capitalist
machine,
just know that you are doing a great job.
My mommy drinks.
Have you ever encountered an unexplained hairy bipedal hominid in the woods?
Have you received telepathic messages from an unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If so, then you need to listen to Bigfoot Collectors Club. I'm Michael McMillan.
And I'm Bryce Johnson.
And together with super producer
Riley Bray,
we make up the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
That's right. Every week we talk to actors, comedians, writers, and paranormal experts about their personal paranormal histories and share stories of high strangeness.
Like the time when we talked to Craig Ferguson about the Loch Ness Monster and when a sea witch told him he had raven magic.
Or the time I asked Pitch Perfect's Anna Camp her opinion on cattle mutilations. Past guests have included Rachel Bloom, Jen Kirkman, Paul F. Tompkins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and more.
So if you've ever been abducted alongside five reindeer by an alien with drills for hands, or witnessed Bigfoot crawl out of an interdimensional portal,
don't laugh, happens all the time.
Then check out Bigfoot Collectors Club on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigfoot Collectors Club, you're here to believe us.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Campfire.